Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio, episode 131 with your host, Jason Brodsky. Here we go, in homage to a pioneer, Dennis Perone, pride in Proposition 215 of California. A gay man who lost his partner to AIDS, Perone has direct experience with the health benefits of cannabis. Already a leader in the gay counterculture and a longtime advocate of cannabis use, Perone thrived in the fight to use the ancient wisdom of the plant to ease the suffering of those afflicted with what in the 1980s was the most modern of diseases, AIDS. In fact, this alignment of gay rights and the struggle for visibility of the gay community with the struggle for justice, this is still spearheaded by cannabis decriminalization, then legalization, and now full commercialization is deeply rooted in the work of Perone. It is a beautiful thing to review how Dennis Perone's cannabis-lit synapses laid out and executed the strategy that would bring the Compassionate Use Act, that's Proposition 215 in California, into law and set in motion the changes that have brought us this modern cannabis world. In the 1980s, people were dying. The disease's origin was elsewhere, but it first really became visible among gay men, where they were most concentrated, in places like New York City and especially in San Francisco. It looked like cancer at first. Then the mystery disease was given the acronym AIDS. The young, wild scene of Castro was particularly susceptible. The fight to help those sick and dying was particularly ugly, with the straight powers that be looking to block research into treatment for a disease that seemed, at first, to only affect gay men. Christian conservative voices across the nation proclaimed that the disease was God's punishment for sodomy. Even in that environment, Perone was not going to be deterred. The challenges seemed to fire him up. The legal battle began with the bust of Brownie Mary in 1992 in Casadero, Sonoma County. A sweet grandmother of a woman was arrested baking brownies to ease the suffering of dying men. As beautiful as Mary's acts of compassion, the bust was just as beautiful as a strategic opportunity to leverage towards a cannabis care law. Hearing of the bust, Perone immediately pulled out his tattered Rolodex and alerted the many media outlets that had interviewed him. In the past, his goal was to create a media buzz around the disconnect between the compassion of Mary and the justice system's lack of concern for sick people. During Mary's trial, Perone helped to organize a parade of cannabis users to testify in court that they were successful using the plant as medicine. Suddenly, the media started to see medicinal marijuana as a topic worth covering. For the next trick, Dennis Perrone realized that eventually legal cannabis would need a place to be sold. He and his co-conspirators created a media event featuring a staged cannabis buyers club. Media were invited in and allowed to film patients buying cannabis in a fake storefront set up just for the shoot. Funny thing though, so many people called into the television station to find out how to join the buyers club that Dennis Perrone launched a real underground buyers club to serve them. Perhaps the most entertaining moment of Dennis Perrone's successful pot mainstreaming was the time a man was arrested for buying weed in San Francisco's Dolores Park when he explained that he had a severe medical condition and only cannabis helped. The police gave him his stash back and told him not to buy it in the park. Instead, they told the man about the buyer's club and gave him Perrone's address. The Cannabis Trial is a nonprofit that honors the pioneers, places, and moments that paved the way for legal cannabis access. Throughout the year, Pot Shots feature the Pioneer Series in a collaboration with the Cannabis Trail. All right, that was from the East Bay Express in the Bay Area, California. I think there's too many stories to tell about Dennis Perrone that you can't just fit into a little article. But it's a really nice place. He had a Castro Cottage, got to stay there quite a bit, and the first person I got to interview for Freak Radio Santa Cruz, do my own sideshow, was doing Earth First Radio for a while, but then got to interview Dennis Perrone. And it's just really great to talk to him in person and also over the phone. So it's a really, really great people that have been here and leave us with good spirit to continue the good fight as the corporations are grabbing the money. Come get your permits. So here, on to the next one, Smoke News Radio. Mm-hmm. This one's really cool. From the TimesOfIsrael.com, Israeli researchers use repurposed plant virus to grow enhanced cannabis. Scientists managed to increase levels of active components, THC and CBG, opening up new opportunities for the growing industry. Israeli researchers have used advanced technology to grow an enhanced strain of cannabis that contains higher levels of THC and CBG, the main active components in cannabis, opening up new possibilities for the popular medical plant and recreational drug. In work conducted at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem's Robert H. Smith Faculty of Agriculture, Food and Environment Research Lab, researchers were able to successfully engineer and grow a cannabis plant with close to 17% higher levels of THC, that's tetrahydrocannabinol, the main psychoactive component in cannabis, and 25% higher levels of CBG cannabigerol, a non-psychoactive cannabinoid, since usually associated with a sensation of physical relaxation and sometimes used to treat for sleep disorders, inflammation, and chronic pain. The lab-developed strain also had a 20 to 30% higher presence of terpenes, which are responsible for maximizing the euphoric effects of cannabis. The study's goal, according to a statement issued by the university, was to develop a mechanism that would allow researchers to intervene in the biomechanical pathways of the cannabis plant and change the levels of active substances it produces. Researchers were eventually able to increase or decrease the levels of specific substances by manipulating a plant-based virus and repurposing it of harming the plant. Researchers created a version of the virus that was able to affect the genes of the cannabis plant that influenced the production of its active substances. Professor Alexander Vunstein, who led the project, quotes, "This represents an innovative use of these tools, which were constructed using synthetic biology tools. Manipulating a cannabis plant and affecting the levels of its active components or their proportions has never been done before," the university noted, opening up new possibilities for the medical industry. Vunstein quotes, "These studies result will be valuable both to industry to increase the yield of active substances and to medical research, develop new strains for more experiments will be done with the engineered plant, and that the information will be made available to the cannabis industry within months." The scientific community has so far been able to identify over 200 active ingredients in the cannabis plant, and a race is underway to identify additional substances and medical treatments that can be derived from it. Israel's medical cannabis market was valued at around $264 million in 2021, roughly $7 million less than the entirety of Europe's. According to Prohibition Partners, an industry analysis firm, late August, the government amended its medical cannabis export rules to allow for export cannabis seeds. The change came after intensive pressure from companies in the cannabis industry. And earlier this month, the first ever export shipment of Israeli cannabis seeds left for the United States, with the Israeli Agricultural Ministry hailing the move as a towards Israel becoming a global pioneer in the field. Thank you. You guys are listening to Smoke News Radio, episode 131, with your host, Jason Brodsky. We have from Dentons.com, the Congress of Argentina passed a law regulating the industry of medical cannabis and industrial hemp. Thank you. The Congress of Argentina passed a law regarding the industry of medical cannabis and industrial hemp on Thursday, May 5th, 2022. The Chambers of Deputies of the Argentine Congress passed a law regulating the medicinal cannabis and industrial hemp industry, herein referred to as the law. Objective of the law is to establish a regulatory framework for cultivation, production, distribution, and commercialization of cannabis, its seeds, and its derivatives intended for medicinal and industrial use. The law complements the Act No. 27350 of 2017 that set a regulatory framework for scientific and medicinal research of cannabis and approved its medicinal use in the Argentine Republic. The law grants licenses to each segment of the production chain and establishes the legal formalities for granting them. It also establishes the control mechanisms to be exercised over licenses. For such purposes, the regulatory agency of the hemp and medicinal cannabis industry is established, which will be governing the organizing agency of the cannabis production chain and will oversee the multiple regulatory bodies involved. The ARICCAME may create regional or provincial delegations to ensure swift and broad compliance with this new Argentine law. Regulating the import, export, cultivation, industrial production, manufacture, commercialization, and acquisition of cannabis and its seeds and derivatives, monitoring the storage, transportation, and distribution of cannabis seeds and plants, along with other public agencies, establishing regulatory standards for best practices in planting and cultivation with the aim of coinciding with the relevant international regulations of the cannabis industry, inspecting the producer's facilities to ensure that they have been duly authorized and are complying with the regulatory standard. Rules providing for the traceability will be promulgated by the National Seed Institute, the INASE, a body regulating the production and circulation under the Ministry of Agriculture. The further the law's objective of promoting the scientific study of cannabis, the ARICAME will establish joint research programs with public universities and national and provincial science and technology organizations. The law also creates the Federal Council for the Development of the Hemp and Medicinal Cannabis Industry. Its membership will be comprised of a representative from each province of Argentina, a representative from this city of Buenos Aires and a representative for the country at large. The council will meet monthly to develop regulations and advise the ARECAM for how best to advance the industry. It will also suggest criteria for the distribution and granting of licenses and authorizations for new producers. These authorizations are based on the administrative element and an operative element. To ensure compliance with its regulations, the law creates a sanctioning system to penalize noncompliance. The sanctions are established on a scale. The least serious consequence is a warning, and the most severe is complete discation from operating for a period of time. Other sanctions may include fines and suspension or expiration of the authorization. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio. Jason Brodsky on the mic, where I find some news articles and I read about them, and I really work on trying to be non-opinionated. All right, please do enjoy. From the North Africa Post. The National Agency for the Regulation of Cannabis Activities has unveiled, during its first meeting chaired by the Minister of the Interior, its roadmap to develop the industry of this plant for legal purposes. During the meeting held this week in Rabat, the Interior Minister Abdelloufi Laftit expounded the state's strategy for regulation of cannabis, for its cultivation to including its processing, saying that the implementation of this strategy has started and that it aims to lift approximately 600,000 people out of poverty and marginalization in the regions that used to produce the substance illegally. The agenda of this first meeting of the National Agency for the Regulation of Cannabis Activities, the ANRAC, included several items, including the approval of the agency's organization chart and the status of its staff, as well as the definition of its budget for the year 2022, the importation of cannabis products for medical, pharmaceutical, and industrial purposes was also on the agenda. The Ministry of the Interior said in a press release that this meeting took place in application of the provisions of Law 1321 relating to the legal uses of cannabis. As a result, the ANRAC is responsible for regulating, monitoring, controlling all operations relating to cannabis, as well as its legal use in accordance with the Kingdom's international commitments. Agency is also in charge of organizing and developing the different stages of this activity, from the production of the seeds to the marketing of the finished product. Besides, the agency will support research with the aim of developing the use of cannabis in the medical, cosmetic, and industrial fields, while simplifying administrative procedures in coordination with administrative authorities concerned. The ANRAC's action plan covers several areas, including approval of the technical characteristics relating to the activities of cultivation, production, processing, and industrialization of cannabis, It also covers the exploitation of cannabis seeds and plants, the marketing and exportation and importation of these products for industrial purposes. Parallel, the agency will launch the procedures for issuing authorizations to the national and international operators in the medical and industrial cannabis industry, as well as to growers and seed companies. Likewise, it will supervise the creation of cooperatives by local farmers to process and manufacture local products. The membership of farmers in cooperatives will allow them to benefit from support, advice, and training. The ANRAC will seek to develop the circuits of medical and industrial use of cannabis and seize the opportunities offered by this market to attract international operators and to support investment in the processing and industrialization of products extracted from cannabis. The regulation of cannabis cultivation aims in its social component to develop legal channels to gradually convert traditional farmers engaged in illicit crops to legal activities that are environmentally friendly and generating decent incomes. Farmers who will not be able to join the legal cannabis program for reasons related to the size of the cannabis market at the beginning, the ANRAC will help them in coordination with the departments and institutions concerned develop alternative crops or non-agricultural activities, the aim being to put an end to illicit cannabis cultivation. Besides the measures of the regulation, monitoring, and supervision of the entire cannabis chain will help to dry up the sources of mafia networks that feed drug addiction markets. Morocco aims to design and implement an integrated strategy for economic, social, and environmental development in cannabis growth areas. Al-Hotsema Chef Chauhin and Tao Ne provinces authorized so far to produce and exploit cannabis. Other provinces may be added to the list depending on the interest shown by national and international investors in activities related to the cannabis production chain of North Africa. Okay. Smoke News Radio, we're going around the world today. Your host, Jason Brodsky. We have from the Pattaya Mail, the Thai court to cancel most cannabis-related cases after new law. Judiciary Office's spokesperson, Sorit Limparangsi, recently disclosed that cannabis-related offenses related to court cases and detentions prior to June 9th will be dropped and any bond payments returned those imprisoned in related trials for failing to pay fines will also be released. Office of Judiciary will cancel most ongoing cannabis-related trials and detentions once new cannabis laws take effect June 9th, 2022. Judiciary Office spokesperson Sorit Limparangsi recently disclosed that cannabis-related offenses resulting in court cases and detentions prior will be dropped and bond payments returned. Those imprisoned in related trials for failing to pay fines will also be released. Defendants awaiting decisions will have their cases dismissed, but they still appear in court to hear their rulings. On the matter of prison release, the court will review them on a case-by-case basis before issuing a court order, as some cases could still result in jail sentences. The spokesperson also urged relatives of prisoners to submit requests for review. The production, import, export, distribution, consumption, and possession of cannabis, with the exception of psychoactive substances, will be formally legalized on January 9th when an announcement issued by the ministry of published in the Royal Gazette on February 9th takes effect. Under this new regulation, all parts of cannabis and hemp plants, except for extracts containing more than 0.2% THC, the plant's psychoactive ingredient, will be removed from the narcotics list. And here a little deeper on that from the ThaiPBSWorld.com. Read to you on Smoke News Radio, your host Jason Brodsky. 4,000 prisoners of cannabis abuse convictions to be freed after June 9th. As many as 4,000 prisoners serving jail terms for offenses related to cannabis or marijuana in Thailand will be released starting on June 9th when the announcement from the Ministry of Public Health removing cannabis and hemp from the Category 5 drug list becomes effective, according to the Department of Corrections. About 110 million baht seized from the offenders under the anti-money laundering law will also have to be returned to its owners after June 9th. Moreover, there are about 16 tons of seized cannabis awaiting destruction, the owners of which may claim back. The consequences of the enforcement of the ministerial announcement also mean that suspects on charges relating to cannabis use or possession will have to be released by the police, public prosecutors, and courts if the cases are awaiting public inquiries or trial. Arrest, prosecution, and conviction records will also be erased from criminal files. News Radio. Here we go. As of June 9th, a person can grow or possess cannabis or hemp for household use, but they are required to notify authorities without having to seek a permission. The Thai Food and Drug Administration has opened an online platform to facilitate registration, import, export, extraction, and production of cannabis products, still requires permission from authorities. Although cannabis and hemp have been removed from the Category 5 drug list, except for the parts which contain THC in excess of 0.2% by weight, the two plants will not be legal until a draft bill to amend the Narcotics Act proposed by the Ministry of Public Health has been approved by Parliament. The bill, in essence, allows for household use of cannabis and hemp, which includes the growing of plants for consumption or health purposes, but within the limits to be specified in the ministerial regulation. In Bangkok, growers will have to register with the city administration. If they have to register with the city administration, if they have residences in Bangkok and with the provincial administration organizations, if the growers are located in upcountry provinces. Critics, however, have pointed out that proponents of the legalization of cannabis and hemp only talk about the positive aspects of the plants, with scant mention to the negatives, including the mind-altering compounds, which can affect both brain and body. It can be addictive and be harmful to some people's health. Short-term effects may include confusion, sleepiness, impaired ability to concentrate, anxiety, fear, or panic, increased heart rate, or decreased blood pressure, paranoia, hallucinations, and long-term effects such as addiction and risks to lung health, among others. All right, you're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, and among others is placenta. It shrinks the placenta, leading to low birth weight, CBD and THC. Check it out. All right, episode 131. Keep going, Smoke News Radio. Jason Brodsky from GuamPDM.com. Money. Cannabis rules draw fire. Guam's recreational cannabis industry could lose to the black market unless the government allows residents to own more than one type of cannabis business. A prospective business owner told lawmakers Thursday morning, at the very least, businesses should be allowed to grow and also manufacture cannabis products, Mike Mateo said during a public hearing on the rules and regulations for the island's recreational cannabis industry. That's how cannabis black market operates, by controlling cultivation, manufacture, and sale. And legal cannabis businesses need to do the same to compete on price, Mateo said. Quoted, it makes it nearly impossible for me as an entrepreneur to enter the market and sustain reasonable profits. Adding, the prohibition is a major deal breaker. As currently written, the rules and regulations prohibit owning or having a financial interest in more than one type of cannabis business. At the same time, businesses must be at least 51% owned by a legal resident of Guam who has lived here at least 3 years. The Cannabis Control Board Chairwoman Vanessa Williams said vertical integration, owning more than one type of cannabis business, was one of the main issues considered by the board as it drafted the rules and regulations. She said the board decided that allowing vertical integration could put smaller business owners at a competitive disadvantage and discourage them from participating in the cannabis industry. That could benefit the black market, she said, adding this situation will be clearer once cannabis businesses start operating. Williams quotes, "We committed to revisit the issue in terms of permitting vertical integration once the industry starts." Legislature's Committee on Economic Development and Agriculture held a public hearing for the proposed rules and regulations Thursday, which is one of the final steps before the rules are final and the government can begin issuing licenses to cannabis businesses. Committee Chairman Senator Clint Rigel said the rules and regulations after the public hearing must be considered and the lawmakers must legislative session. The Senator Clint Rigel speaks at Guam Cannabis Expo in 2021. Recreational cannabis has been legal in Guam since April 2019. Eligible adults can possess limited amounts of marijuana in public and grow and consume it at home, but it still is illegal to sell or trade marijuana for anything of value until the rules and regulations are in place and the government issues licenses to cultivars, manufacturers, testing facilities, and retail stores. No cannabis products can be sold unless they are tested by a lab. Farmer Henry Wustig told senators he considered growing cannabis to supplement the income from his farm, but decided against it because of the effort it would require. Wustig said he objects to the rules and regulations which allow cannabis growers to use only organically produced nutrients. That's necessary. I've been farming for about 50 years and I see that commercial fertilizer is very helpful to farmers. There's nothing wrong. So why does the cannabis board want to regulate how to grow the crop? Wustig quotes, "To make it organically grown is just an added cost. It's another hurdle." Nathan Bell told lawmakers he is interested in cannabis genetics and seeds, not selling cannabis. "The rules and regulations don't fully address the issue," he said, noting the section on cannabis seed selection is only three sentences long. The rules state federal law prohibits cannabis seeds and material from being imported, so seeds and tissue culture may be locally sourced. Bell quotes, "As someone who locally is going on that just as a hobby, it seems like maybe we should have put a little more thought into that." Rigel quotes, "Seeds are a difficult issue." He wrote, "The recreational cannabis law, quote, according to federal law, you can't import any cannabis products from off-island. Because of that, the idea was to allow it to so that whatever cannabis is already here, you can cultivate whatever seeds are here, whatever genetics are here. One unresolved issue, unrelated to the rules and regulations, is how to handle the money generated by Guam's cannabis businesses. At the time, no local bank is willing to accept cannabis-related money, which means that the government of Guam can't deposit the fees and taxes collected from the cannabis businesses. The 15% excise tax on cannabis sales is supposed to be GovGuam's primary funding source to pay for industry monitoring and regulation. Williams said the Cannabis Board can't regulate banks to accept cannabis-related money, but banks might be willing to do so if the market is sufficiently regulated and banks have access to licensee information. She said the Department of Public Health and Social Services, which is in charge of the seed sale tracking system for the cannabis industry, has been given presentations to banks about how the system will operate. Williams quotes, "This is ongoing. We're continuing to address the issue. The director of the Department of Administration is well aware and is working diligently with the Department of Revenue and Tax and the board. We're trying to keep this paramount and priority issue for all decision makers." You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Next from www.krqe.com. City Council to hear new proposal on use of cannabis in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Months into recreational cannabis being legal in New Mexico, communities are still ironing out the rules around it. Albuquerque City Councilors are considering multiple bills about using pot in public. There are two bills surrounding banning pot in public, but they may have different ideas on what the punishment should be for people who violate the ban. What's generating complaints in New Mexico's cannabis industry? The city councilor, Tammy Finkelkorn, is introducing a bill that aims to not criminalize people caught smoking pot in public. She says the bill would be in line with the state's law of no public consumption of recreational cannabis, and violating the ban would be a civil penalty. Quoted, "I just don't want us to be recriminalizing cannabis and having unfair implementation of that law across our city. There's a fine of $50 in the state law, and I think we should keep that level as a civil penalty here in our city laws as well," said Councillor Finkelkorn. New Mexico earns more than $2.4 million from cannabis in tax. According to 311, there have only been 10 calls for public cannabis smoking over the past 5 years, and they haven't gotten a single complaint since recreational cannabis became legal. Finkelkorn says public cannabis smoking is not a huge problem in Albuquerque and does not need to be criminalized. Now, there is another bill already in committee and sponsors by Councilors Trudy Jones and Luis Sanchez also bans using cannabis in any public place in Albuquerque, but does not lay out what the penalties would be for people who violate the plan. News 13 reached out to both counselors, but has not heard back. Now, New Mexico sold 21 million in recreational cannabis in May. A third bill being talked about in the city council is sponsored by Councilor Isaac Benton. It aims to extend the ban on new cannabis-related businesses in historic Old Town until October. That ban currently expires next month. It cites the city is still considering permanent regulations on cannabis in Old Town. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Let's see how far we can get into this one right here. And here we go. From France24.com, Paraguay's slow slide into a state held hostage to drug trafficking. Asuncion. Two Paraguayan officers were murdered as many weeks. An anti-drug prosecutor executed while on honeymoon in Colombia, and a mayor gunned down outside his office. These incidents have sent a disturbing signal that parts of South American country are falling under the influence and bullets of organized crime and drug traffickers. A few months ago, the mayor Pedro Juan Caballero, northeastern city on the border with Brazil, complained bitterly that mafia groups walk around armed and no one does anything. Jose Carlos Asfeo, 51, quotes, "How can you walk around the streets armed with the AR-15 or AK-57? Quoted, "This citizenry knows what happens here, but apparently the police don't know and the public prosecutor's office doesn't know." It was one of the last interviews the mayor would give before being struck on May 17th by a hail of bullets as he left town hall. A week earlier, Marcelo Pesci, leading prosecutor in Paraguay's fight against drug trafficking and money laundering, was shot dead execution style on a Colombian island in front of his wife. One line of inquiry, according to sources close to the investigation, has pointed to the suspected crime boss, Sergio Derrida Quintiliano Neto, known as the Minchur, who has been detained since 2019 in Brazil. The alleged leader of the Brazilian First Capital Command Gang was arrested as part of the probe led by Pesci. At the time of his death, the 45-year-old Pesci was compiling evidence against captured criminals belonging to the PCC and Red Command groups that originated in Brazil but now also operate in Paraguay, a small island landlocked country of 7.3 million between Argentina, Bolivia, and Brazil. Paraguay has traditionally been known as a marijuana producer. Criminologist Juan Martins from the National University of Asuncion quotes, "We have become the regional distribution center for Andean cocaine. From Paraguay, the shipments are sent through the ports of Buenos Aires and Montevideo to Europe. The country is located in a strategic region for smuggling and drug trafficking," quotes Arnaldo Gizio, former interior minister and anti-drugs chief. Wild, huh? Okay, that one keeps going. And we'll just get a little into the next one from CannabisNow.com. The new Colombian gold. For all the talk of federally legalizing cannabis in the United States, sometimes one fails to take proper stock of the progress that's being made beyond our borders. If one manages to keep tabs on Canada and monitor the prospects for legalization in Mexico, the focus is still too rarely tuned into what's happening outside North America, except for this show, be it science from Israel, shifts in public approval across Europe and Latin America's rosy prospects as a major international exporter of cannabis. There's undeniably a plethora to be gleaned by paying close attention to other cannabis markets. With quotes, Alvaro Torres, founder director of Colombia's Chiron Life Sciences Corporation, founded in the wake of the Colombia's 2016 decision to approve a regulatory framework of a national medical cannabis market, Chiron states it's one of three of four companies currently licensed to cultivate the plant for sale in the country, providing product to more than 90% of Colombia's medical cannabis patients. Quoting, when medical cannabis came along a few years ago, Torres quotes, I just know it was here to say that it wasn't a trend, that it was going to be here for the next century. And Torres goes on, so Colombia is rocking, you know. Yeah. Oh, man. I love it. Cannabis market. You got to love it. Okay. Love everyone for listening. Thank you. Pay attention to the world out there. Know what's going on. And it's good to know where what you're smoking and where it's from. Have a beautiful, beautiful night. Thank you for listening. Smoke News Radio. Your host, Jason Brodsky. We got Jack Johnson with the news. Here we go.
A billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullaby. The one to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight. Well, mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear, so baby, close your ears on the news tonight, on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullabies.